You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to We Talk Life to Radio, an intimate portrait about human life and how we set out to change the world from our own perspectives. I'm your host, Tori Sands, and I'm joined with my co-host today, Crystal Hall, Randy Savagery. Did I say it right?
Savagery,
right? Right? Okay. And also Autumn Smith Jimenez, right? All right, we got it. So welcome everybody to our first episode. We appreciate you guys for joining us. And hopefully today this podcast will actually teach you guys how we can learn, we can all learn, live and thrive off of each other, of course, by sharing knowledge through our conversations. I'm really excited today because our guests, we have some very special women here today who have a story to tell. A story that is, I think, often like, you know, a lot of people, you know, just don't feel comfortable talking about because of ignorance. And of course, today's topic, we're going to talk about the trans community. And I want to just say this real quick before we get into it. For the transgender people, they come from every region of the United States and around the world, from every racial and ethnic background and from every faith community. Transgender people are your classmates, your coworkers, your neighbors and your friends. With approximately 1.4 million transgender adults in the United States and millions more around the world, chances are that you've met a few, quite a few, of course, transgender people. And even if you don't know them, of course, I know a few. So today I would like to welcome my special guest. I have Janice Poindexter. Of course, we got her here, too, from Equality, Michigan. And also we got Jamila Sade is also here with us, too. And of course, we know that Janice actually has a special guest with her as well, and she'll explain that too. So thank you for blessing us with your presence today.
Of course. I appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Okay, so let's start off. And I just want to ask you, lovely ladies, tell us a little bit about yourself. So who want to start first? We're going to start with Jamila.
Oh, what do you want to know?
Yeah, I just want to know a little bit about you. What do you like? What do you do?
I'm a social worker, Detroit, Michigan. I just graduated with my BSW in social work. I'm a resident of the city. I don't like the label transgender. I just like my label as myself living through society. Am I on the mic right?
Yeah, we're on the mic. Yeah, okay. We're trying to get this. Excuse me, people, everybody. We're trying to get all this together.
At 12.
Yeah, okay. So we're just trying to get this up a little bit here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
And, you know, I just thought it was very important for me to be here because, you know, I'm a lot older than I look. You know, I came to. My family moved to Detroit in the 70s, so I was around when it wasn't even, the transgender word wasn't even talked about. Mm. You know, it was called transsexual then, and that sounded like something from outer space. That's just me saying.
Wow.
And back then, it was different because it was not talked about, it was not known about. You were just a drag queen or gay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't no in-betweens. And I was lucky that I had a voice. I was really, you know, I didn't gain some weight and got older. But I was really small. I could pass without people really knowing. You're like catching the bus and going all downtown everywhere. And I think I had that to my advantage. But as you get older, you know, things change. So you have to keep up and you have to fight a little bit more harder. But it was scary because, you know, I've seen people get beat up. I was on the bus where I saw somebody get abused, you know, almost killed, and then the guy looked over at me and was like, you see that's going on? And I looked at him, I was like, if he only knew. Okay. I wanted to call, you know, it's just me personally, I think I've had to fight for everything that I've gotten. It didn't come easy. I was blessed and I had family support.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was always a follower, a leader, not a follower. I'm sorry, I had to get that right. I didn't follow behind other people.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because I know you from social media. Me and you are friends on Facebook.
Madonna brought us
together. Yeah, Madonna brought us together because we're big Madonna fans.
Right.
That's what we have in common. I want to say that, but I want to ask you, because I know you not to like be like, I've gone out and been on the club scene for a long time, and I don't do it as much now, but I want to ask you, because I have never seen you out at the clubs. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Like, what is your like everyday thing? Are you like, because I know that you told me you're a performer, too. But, like, do you just, like, lead a normal life?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Quietly and peacefully. Mm-hmm. And I did the clubs back years ago. But I'm kind of, you know, Detroit I'm not putting Detroit down. You know, this is my home. But I was more, you know, like we said, Madonna mm-hmm. girl. I'm more of an 80s. I'm still an 80s. Prince. I'm still mm-hmm. 80s, really trapped in the 80s. I want a bar that can just do Prince, Madonna. I'll be fine. Yeah. But, no, I don't go out as much. I have my small circle of friends, and we have wine.
Okay.
And we might have right, a male cool. dancer once in a while. Now,
okay. You know. All right. We're going to talk about the leisure stuff, but okay. I just want to know, like, what do you do, like, for yourself? What do you have a profession that you do?
I'm or a social worker.
Social worker. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I was a hairstylist for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I kind of got, you know, it looked like it was a dead end for me because I didn't own the salon. I was just a, you know, cosmetologist. Yeah. So I went back to school.
Go to school,
I went
too.
To Wayne Community College, and I didn't see that many other transgender women there, and I was kind of like, wow, I'm in here by myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw one, but she looked like she was afraid, isolated, yeah. you know.
Okay.
See, well, me, I had that mindset. I didn't give a
yeah.
damn. I'm here okay. for me. I don't care about what people are saying or who this and who that. I'm trying to get my papers.
Okay, so you just basically just live a normal life.
For right
like,
now.
It's not like a club. You're not like a club kid or anything
no.
like that.
For right okay. now, I'm living a normal life. I need some excitement, but for right
okay.
now.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to come back and we're going to talk to you about okay. that, okay? But I want to talk to Janice, too, and I want to find out. I want Janice to explain to us. Like, just tell a little bit about yourself, Janice. Of course, because I know you're an activist as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I appreciate you for being here today.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
I appreciate
it. Yeah, just tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do.
So my name is Janice Poindexter, mm-hmm. and I'm the transgender specialist / victim advocate for Equality Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I also am the vice president of communication and organizing for Trans Sisters of Color Project. So I have the honor and the pleasure of traveling throughout the country, rendering supportive services to LGBTQ community members that mm-hmm. experience victimization from discrimination, harassment, unfair treatment in the housing program. It can be a situation where they're getting mishandled in the judicial system and yeah. need to understand the legal language as relates to our people and our people.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of that work, and God has given me a lot of opportunities and a lot of grace, and I've been able to really work with a lot of influential people and people that I've established bonds and connections with outside of their titles.
Wow.
And I'm very fortunate for that, because I get work done with a text message or a phone call, whereas I don't have to kind of go through everything yeah. and get all of that kind of hopelessness
mm-hmm.
because they know me as a person, not a trans woman, not an activist. There's a personal relationship there.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's awesome. And I appreciate you and your work that you do, you know,
thank
for the community
you.
Too.
I
and
appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. And I know that you brought a special guest with you today too.
I did.
So tell
so
us
I
about
brought,
your guest.
I brought my granddaughter, Jasmine Wright. And as I said, working with Equality Michigan, we're a statewide agency. So we render services throughout the state. I manage 3 offices in Grand Rapids and 1 in Holland. And I just opened one in Benton Harbor last month as well. So once a month, I go and stay in a hotel probably for almost a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel, you know, through those regions to make sure that the community members are supported, that they feel acknowledged. We made a good partnership in Grand Rapids with Mel Trotter, and I run the all trans shelter
mm-hmm.
For trans women
awesome.
To escape homelessness or violence. You know, we have a lot of clients here. But Detroit particularly is not a very good space for shelter or for if something is going wrong with the girls. So we have to Uber the clients up to Grand Rapids sometimes to really make sure that those supportive services are rendered to the best of their ability.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So I brought Jasmine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jasmine.
Jasmine is my granddaughter in the community.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi.
Within the LGBTQ community, we establish a family structure. And that family structure really counts for a lot, because those are the people that save you, that speak the real to you from making mistakes, from making errors that other people probably won't. That family structure really comes into play. So she's my granddaughter, and she also was a survivor / client that I worked with. And 2 years ago, she was in high school, and she ran across a very disrespectful attendance kind of officer mm-hmm. at the school, right? And this attendance, I'll let her tell you.
Yeah. So basically, I was in class, and the attendant officer came in, and she told me, like, where's your uniform? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't got it on, you know. I can go get my mom. I can get it. Mm-hmm. And she basically told me that, so she started going into detail about how I came off smart to her. So since I came off smart to her, she basically came back and told me, like, you're a boy. You have this between your legs. You will never be a girl. Wow. Basically told me everything that.
In front of the students.
Yeah, in front of the whole class. Mm-hmm. So after that, I had went and. You know, I kind of started feeling bad about myself, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
With the hormone thing, therapy and everything. And basically, it took for, like, my grands and a few other trans sisters that I have to basically build back up my confidence back to where I used to have it at. Mm-hmm. But I got it taken care of due to this lady right here next to me.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I know you're pretty, like, you're in a comfortable space now, you know, mm-hmm. obviously. But how did you, in that moment when she did that in front of the classroom, mm-hmm. how did you feel? Like, were you embarrassed or, you know, just?
I was.
Yeah.
I honestly was. And it took a lot for me to keep my composure mm-hmm. when I was, at that moment, it took a lot for me to not be like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to battle yeah. you. I'm ready to go back. And, you know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. So I cried, but, you know, I'm not the type of person that cry in front of people.
Yeah.
So I cried by myself. And, you know, I called my mama on the phone. I told my mama. Mama came, rushed back up to the school. And I had went to the office. And at the office, you know, the principal that I had, Ms. Spryzak, she was very, like, warm. And she, mm-hmm. you know, every step of the way, she's still, to this day, she's still, like, how you doing? How you being? Yeah. You know,
very
do you
supportive.
Need this? Do you mm-hmm. need that? She's still to this day, still the same way. And
But it was unfortunate because the attendance officer felt validated. Mm-hmm. And that's what really took me by surprise is the fact that you spoke openly about her genitals, mm-hmm. about her choice.
Yeah.
And her mom and her family met with school faculty, the mm-hmm. principal, the counselors before she started school to establish mm-hmm. the lines mm-hmm. of respect for her.
Yeah.
And everyone was up to date, go through a couple months. You get this one officer. Who just feels that they're entitled to interject their own bias mm-hmm. and choose to degrade and humiliate her right mm-hmm. in the middle of her classmates and other instructors. And you got to ask yourself the mentality behind that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For you to step out of line that much, you're here to provide a level of safety and a good environment for children. And for you to be the offender, that was shocking.
Okay, yeah, I understand. And it's very disrespectful, too, of course, when it comes to trans women and trans men, to ask them about their private parts. Mm-hmm. And that's something else,
that's
too.
That's disrespectful for yeah. anyone. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I could not imagine just walking up to a person and just like, oh, so what do you do in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
why is that okay? Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen, like, some, like, people online on Facebook, particularly, like, where, like, some trans women would say they've gotten hit up by guys and said, well, let me see your, you know, your dick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong, mm-hmm. you know, because you don't know. And mm-hmm. everybody, it's like, everybody has their own thing. So it's like, you don't really know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really disrespectful. Mm-hmm. and that's something that, you know, like, I think it's very touchy, you know, it's a touchy subject or whatever.
It is.
Yeah.
We have a case yeah. in front of the Supreme Court right now where there was a trans woman by the name of Amy Stevens. She worked here at Garden City in a funeral home, and she was praised and she got a raise and everything for the good work that she did. Her job started throwing little hints and innuendos about mm-hmm. her dress code, about her appearance over a period of time and wind up firing her just because she's a trans woman. But little do people know that her case is before the Supreme Court. Right now, we all face,
yeah.
we all are Amy Stevens every day living
wow.
in Michigan mm-hmm. because Michigan is an at-will state. Mm-hmm. So by me being LGBTQ, I can mm-hmm. be fired, I can be evicted from my housing, and there's nothing that I can do about it
yeah.
legally because we don't have the non-discrimination ordinance, we don't have the federal coverage.
So what do we have to do?
We've got that. To change the law.
Yes.
We've got to. So,
are you saying that you have to disclose who you are? Like, if, for example, and I was going to ask you, Jamila, is that correct?
Right.
I was going to ask you, you're a social worker. So at work, do you have to disclose that you are a trans woman?
No, I don't. And what I did some years ago is I changed everything, like my ID.
Gender marker.
Okay.
I did the birth certificate. I did all of that stuff, like
your
name change. So when people see me, they couldn't really pinpoint that. And I'm kind of like quiet about it because I don't think it's anybody's business anyway. But I didn't really see the battle lines until I went to affirmations and I was my internship. And I was in tears some days because I had younger people who were actually on the street prostituting. And I would sit on that computer and call every homeless shelter, every place I could. I was in tears. One girl, I think it wasn't just, but besides the transgender issue, was mental health issues also. And I said, she needs some help. And it's like, no, I'm like, I want to do this, but I really want to do this for the LGBT community. I want to help them because I don't see the help. And I also worked in a homeless shelter in Warren, Michigan. I had transgender people calling. They would ask me, well, do you have a bed for a transgender person? And I was like, I didn't know what, I'm almost in tears now. I didn't know what to say. Because they only want, you know, they had a section for men and they had a section for
and
women.
And they'll tell you if you want to come in and get help and get services, you got to take all of that off.
Right, you have to be so, the gender you were.
Yeah, because see, what I...
They
what
do
I,
that in prisons, too.
What I don't understand, and if I saw you on the street, I will not judge you. I would probably say that you are a woman.
But some of us don't have that advantage.
And
don't have that advantage.
And I understand
danger.
That. So I guess what I'm asking is it. I guess the transformation is, you know, do you go from a transformation from?
Oh yeah,
males to female
a transition,
and that's what and I guess that's.
It takes,
that's where the discrimination
it can take
comes
years
in.
Well,
for
no,
that.
The discrimination comes
People's
from
ignorance.
Just overall ignorance. People feel that we're trying to disrupt the traditional way of life or trying to include on religion. We get a lot of hatred and discrimination based on religion. But what I'm always interested in having that conversation because the word says that love covers a multitude of sin. And the same grace that is sufficient for a whoremonger, a leper, adulteress, a thief, whatever that is, the same grace that saved you can save me. And if you're telling me that it can't, then you have a problem because you're calling God a liar.
Exactly.
And the word said that he's not the son of man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent.
There's no sin that is different.
Here.
So sin is sin.
Yep.
Okay. You know, so there's no sin that is different.
Let me ask you guys this. Okay, so we're talking about, you know, when it comes to the religious aspect of it or whatever, when it says this, you know, like about sin, do you believe that, you know, who you are is like,
no,
do you believe
do
as a, you're a sinner?
No, I
in that
not.
Way because
no,
of your
because you know what I
identity
I've been through a lot in my life. I lived in Nigeria with my mother. I was going to Henry Ford High School. My mother just wanted to move to Africa. She met an African man. I lived in London with her also. And I'm just trying to say, different cultures think differently. I don't know if I would have survived in Africa being transgender because they have laws over there that they'll hang you and kill you, all kind of different things going on. But people were gravitating towards me for some reason, like watching me and looking at me and, I even had somebody ask, are you a boy or a girl? And I was just dressed just like him. But see, I always had that female thing, you know, that I was born with. I didn't wake up one day and go, ooh, I want to be a transgender. This is too hard of a life to just say, ooh, I want to be.
Exactly.
You know, I knew this when I was 4 years old. My grandmother saw it at 2. I started changing at 15. I've always been a woman. I never have been a man, period.
I know that's right.
So I'm just, you know, and the reason why I'm talking like this because I really didn't have to fight as much. And I think I was kind of in denial. When I was at affirmations and I saw people coming in there going through this and going through that, I'm like, where were my glasses at? Because I was enjoying my life and I was able to pass through but not worrying about other people.
Yeah.
You know, if I may, this was probably one of the best moments I've ever had in this studio. studio that talks exactly to what you were just saying. We had you guys that are listening can't see air quotes, but their air quotes are a religious expert, who I literally had to explain that there is a difference between someone being gay,
yes, there is.
Someone being a cross-dresser, and gender dysphoria.
Exactly. That's right.
Exactly.
That's one of my questions.
If you look up
they
the
are totally
gay,
different things.
Totally different
and if he didn't get
that's
that.
Right. If you look up the meaning of gay, it is a man that is attracted to another man.
Exactly.
And if I'm telling you that my position as trans, for me, my position was not... my transition did not get encouraged, nor was the catalyst a man, a relationship. Was it to fool people? Was it to come against the status quo? It was not. It was really about my own level of freedom and life that I'm entitled to, that I'm entitled to as a child of God, as a believer, and as a human first. I think that we interject our own biases so much that we forget that the humanity in being a human, and we immediately go to what we don't like and what we see fit, forgetting that we are all sinners that fall short.
Okay, gotcha.
I just love you. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Amen.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Okay, and I know that Jamila had said about at a certain age that she realized who she was. I want to know from you, Janice, like at what age, and also, you know, I just want to find out, like, when did you realize that you were different?
I knew that it was something different about me. What I did not know is the way that society would try to ostracize me, and like, this is what I want people to understand, that you don't make a choice to be the sore thumb and the brunt of all violence and humiliation and discrimination. Mm-hmm. You don't make a choice to wake up and do that. My choice to transition and to be the person that you see in front of you, it was a position of life. My life was full of confusion because I was trying to be something that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I know that people probably won't understand that because for them, my very being is a choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's not a choice. It was not a choice. It was figuring out how to make my mind, my body match up with my mind and my soul. And when I did, all along that journey, I was so lost that I could not translate that to people. I could not put that message in a bottle and give it to people. So therein lied my confusion and all of my craziness. But I never left God. I had a really good relationship with my family. I had to leave them at one point because I'm a Taurus, so I'm really stubborn. I had to leave them and disconnect from them and really, really find myself. And when I did that and I discovered that no matter what goes on, no matter what I can experience in this life, that the Lord still found favor in me, that changed my whole life. And that really deepened when my mom died and I had to grow up mentally, emotionally. It was just, I was on this journey. And through that, I gave my life back to Christ. I really dedicated myself to my ministry. I go to Greater Emmanuel Temple of Deliverance, under the esteemed leadership of Bishop Eric Mitchell. And he helped me really own into what being a child of God was first. So to answer your question, do I think that my life is a sin, or do I think I need to ask for forgiveness? Yes, because to tap into grace, there must first be sin for grace to cover. So I am such a lover of God and a respecter of God that I would not put myself before him because he is the beginning and the end. In that, I do humble myself and pray to him for repentance for the things that I've done wrong. I know that he has spoken against the Homosexuality Act. So I have to be truthful in saying that I ask God for forgiveness for that. But my path, my who I am, the Lord has found favor in that. And anybody who tries to tell me different, I will sit up and argue and strongly disagree, not offensively, because I don't believe that we should argue about Christ. But how do you tell me that I don't have a place here and I don't have a place in his kingdom?
Okay. I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
Can I say one thing on to that?
Yeah, sure.
She said some powerful things. But I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for faith.
Amen.
I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Because I know I had to have somebody watching over me, and it wasn't just my grandmother.
Amen.
And the things that I have seen, and, you know, when I lived in Africa and even in Detroit, you know, I transitioned, like, back in the 80s, when it wasn't even that many. It was a lot of us, like Melba Moore. There's some people out there back then, but it wasn't a whole lot. I was like by myself, I felt. But, you know, I had God watching over me. You know, I was an introvert. I didn't have many friends. You know how many people like the Madonna besides me in the basement singing like a virgin, whatever.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, I had to have God watching over me. I don't think I'm who I'm supposed to be. I think that God made everybody in his. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. This is a test, I believe. I don't believe in the death thing. I believe the spirit moves on.
Transition.
I transition. Yeah. I don't believe in none of that stuff. I used to be afraid years ago. Now I'm not, because I've seen things I don't want to talk about here. Yeah. But, you know, I just think that we just live in a society. Everybody's against this person. Black, white, purple, green. It's just like every day I'm hearing this hate, hate, hate. Mm-hmm. And this is what's destroying the world. And I think we need... People need to do better and just leave people alone. Mind your own business. And the thing about the gay thing, they're not worrying about how much of a human being you are. They're worried about the sex act.
Yeah.
Instead of learning who the personality, how good of a person you are, how good of a person you are. They're worried about what you're doing in the bedroom.
It's always
lingers down to
too.
That.
Yeah. That makes me
laugh. I'm more than sex. I'm more than that. As far as this gay thing and this, I ain't never had a gay man knock on my door in my life. And a lot of women will knock up and down like, well, they had to be gay. All the men I have had come after me have been straight men. Yeah. And I've had to tell them, and I'm upfront. Sometimes I don't, because if I don't like you, you're not going to know, and I'm going to keep on walking on. But I'm just saying that human sexuality is very more...
And can we say this real quick?
...than what we know.
Can we say this real quick about trans women? A lot of times they say that, you know, when a trans woman, because we're going to talk about how many trans women have died murdered.
Yeah.
The thing is that a lot of times they say that they trick these men, but
that's the narrative.
They can't trick a guy.
They try to put that narrative
before you leave the Bible stuff.
Real quick, there is
one line in the Old Testament. The whole, you know, man shall not lie with another man. One line, Leviticus, Old Testament. That, let's be real, nobody pays attention to the Old Testament. Anybody in this room have a tattoo? Anyone? No. Tattoo?
Yeah.
My brother got one.
Multiple tattoos.
Yeah. Burning in hell. Anybody ever work on a Sunday? Mm-hmm. Anyone? Yeah. Yeah. Burning in hell.
Children out of wedlock?
Hey, but the good news is you can sell your child into slavery as long as it's two towns over, according to the Old Testament. Totally cool.
How about the pastors and the priests that have been? Yeah. You try to paint us and my community as monsters and these perverts and these pedophiles. But we know of cases where, even in the black culture, where the uncles and the fathers are touching the children, and it's completely covered.
You know the old joke. How do you get a nun pregnant? You dress her up like an altar boy.
That's crazy. You know,
but we have to fight these stereotypes that only apply to our population just because of who we are.
It pisses me off.
That's true.
I really do when I see that.
All right, so I know we're pressed for time, but I wanted to say also, because we got a cisgender.
That's right.
Cisgender heterosexual male here. We also got cisgender females here too. He's like, yeah.
That term, you might not know the term.
I love him. I want to know, like, I just want to know if you guys have any questions.
Please.
For the transgender women.
This is a safe
women.
Space, please.
So, because I, you, you know, of course, we got a lot of, different things coming up to talk about.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, in like way down the line. But I would just want to know for your, from your point of view, like, how do you feel about the subject matter about trans women and stuff? Not putting you on the spot. I just want to know.
No, yeah, you could put me on the spot. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. So, like, number one, with the spirituality thing, I am not a Christian. So, like, it is definitely – your sexuality is not a sin from where I'm coming from, no matter who you want to sleep with.
Gotcha.
So that's, like, a really number one. Yeah. And then the second thing, like, in all honesty, I mean, a lot of my friends in the past were trans and gay just because, like, I did a lot of drugs. I got really high and did a lot of Tina to be 100%. So I have zero bias. Man, nothing. To me.
I'm sorry. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Because I did a lot of drugs and I dated a Latina. That's one of the best things I've ever heard.
Did a lot of Tina.
Oh, did a lot of Tina. Sorry. I heard dated a Latina.
I know somebody knew I was talking about.
Latinos in here. I know what you're talking about.
Both of those are accurate. I'm just saying.
So what you're saying is you don't come with that built-in kind of, oh, my goodness, look at them. Who are they? My goodness.
Yeah, not at all. And then... if you were born a girl, you're a girl, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why would I ever, how would that ever better my life or change my day to ever give any hate towards a person?
Mm-hmm. It's like I've always said, it's like being mad because the guy in front of you or the person in front of you at Subway is ordering a meatball sub and you're ordering a club sandwich.
Yeah.
You ain't putting it in your mouth. It doesn't matter to you. Move on.
100%.
It's power and control.
It is.
It's power and control when you think about it. And this is what I tell, because a lot of times there's issues in the communities of color with really diving into conversations and really being truthful. And it's like you cannot substantiate why you choose to love this black or this person and not that person. Mm-hmm. And I asked the NAACP when they were here. I did a panel discussion with them, and I told them that I questioned the integrity of your movement because you place value on certain lives
and not all.
Mm. And what we have to understand, particularly as people of color, black people, our liberation is parallel.
Yes.
The same mistreatment that you receive,
yes.
I'm three spaces back up under you because there is that kind of stigma there. Well, I don't have to respect her as a woman. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. And I always tell our sisters that because your struggle is my struggle. Mm-hmm. I definitely lay in bed at night and see the news stations. And I have six sisters. I have a mom. I have aunts and cousins. So for me, it's like, no, we've got to understand where our fight is in order to continue the fight because it is parallel. And if we don't get that, if we don't really understand the point of being together and fighting together and understand where we connect and also understanding where we don't, we're going to fail.
Yeah, you're right. All right. So let me take a moment here just to talk to the audience for people that are listening. Okay. Think about your own gender. Okay. It can be difficult for people who are not transgender to imagine what being transgender feels like. Imagine what it would be like if everyone told you that your gender that you've always known yourself to be was wrong. What would you feel like if you woke up one day with a body that's associated with a different gender? Now, what would you do if everyone else, your doctors, your friends, your family, believed you're a man and expected you to act like a man when you're actually a woman, or believed you were a woman even though you've, you know, always known yourself to be a man? So these are the things. You have to put yourself in other people's position. That's the whole thing. So I want you guys at home just to kind of think about that when you're judging other people, okay? Now, I do want to ask it because we talked a little bit about, sexual orientation and also, just kind of like different, they're different. So sexual orientation and also being transgender is completely different. And a perfect example is like I got to use Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner, identifies as a woman, but is attracted to women.
She's not gay. She
so
doesn't like men.
I want to talk to my trans women and ask, you guys, I want to know, for yourself, a lot of times when there's trans women, a lot of times, you know, you might be still attracted to men, even though you were born biologically a man and, you know, you feel like you're in a different body. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, you might still be attracted to men, but then you are a transgender woman who also is attracted to the opposite sex. But then it does that make you a lesbian at that point? Like, some people are kind of confused with that, too.
I want to say something here on that part.
And I also want to hear, I know,
Jasmine, dude, I'll put it in perfect context for you.
Yeah.
I'm the straight, middle-aged white guy in the room.
Yeah.
Caitlyn Jenner, man or woman who used to be a man, is dating a man who used to be a woman.
Exactly, yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea how to have that conversation in today's world. I truly don't.
Well, let me say this.
Like, I'm afraid to even talk about it.
Can I tell you something? That for a minute? That,
agreed.
The woman, actually, I'm sorry, before you guys say anything else, the woman that Caitlyn Jenner is dating, beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous, but used to be a man as well.
Was on she was on a Channel 7 TV show.
Yeah, yeah, so.
I saw her.
Okay, so I don't know who wants to talk first.
I want to say something about that. I have always liked it. M-A-N's. But.
M-A-N's is
that was the confusion because I was kept, you know, I was told you had to pick a wall. I mean, you're either gay or you're gay. And I said.
Pick a wall, boots.
I was like, well, I must just be gay then. But I still felt like, no, this is not for me. Because I said, I feel, when I'm with a man, I feel like I'm a woman. And I said, this is not for me. I went to gay bars and I always felt like isolated. I'm like, there's a bunch of men in here. Where's my voice at? So it was different black women in the community on the west side of Detroit that helped me because I was in a land of confusion. I remember some guy stopped me. This is when I was as a boy, a teenager, you're handsome. I was like, no, I'm beautiful, honey. I'm not handsome. I'm beautiful. You better get it right because you're not going to treat me like some man because I'm not that one. Yeah. So as I got older, I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something which is real scary. It was a book. I don't know where it came from. Probably my uncle or somebody. And it was open and it said different sexualities and it said transsexual and it said a person who lives their life as the opposite sex and who can pass in public and all this stuff. And I said, that sounds like me. But when I was like 17, I said, you know what? I defied everybody. I just said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I started buying a little bit of Wet n Wild here. And they had Wrigley's drugstore.
Yeah.
I was buying a little makeup and I just little by little. And I kept saying, I'm a woman. I've always known this. And it just got stronger and stronger.
But you're attracted to men.
Well, yeah, I need somebody strong. I need some muscles behind me. Okay. I'm already feminine enough. It's not about a woman that I want. Okay. And I just admire and I appreciate women. I love women because my mother's a woman. My sister's a woman. And I feel that I am too, but I respect women a lot. And I just, I just like men. They just give me that masculine that I need. That's all.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. But no offense to anybody else.
Okay, gotcha. And Autumn, you were going to say something, right?
Yeah, I wanted to touch back on what Miss Janice was saying. I just want to introduce myself as my name is Autumn. I think you introduced me earlier. And I'm a strong ally of the LGBTQ community. I always have been. I guess you say I'm a cisgender or I like to say bio-female. I have been really involved in LGBTQ healthcare and mainly HIV research in Chicago. I've been doing that for about a decade and I have a strong relationship with the house ball community in Chicago. Ms. Rahi, Balenciaga, Ebony.
I'll be there next month for a ball.
Yeah, all those houses. So it really started in the 90s when I was in high school. I was privileged enough to go to a very progressive high school in Chicago, a private school where my principal was a lesbian and she had adopted like 4 black kids from Ethiopia and was married to a woman. My counselor was a gay man. So I always grew up with LGBTQ people and people that looked out for me and were very instrumental in me coming up. And my parents were very liberal about it. They didn't have a problem with me associating with gay people or I don't know, maybe being very open-minded. I was always around a lot of progressive people. But really this past decade, I got into it because I've been seeing a lot of conversations, especially with the advent of social media around the liberation of black people. But it seems to not include LGBTQ people or same gender loving people, as my brother Cleo Monago would like to say. And I have a problem with that because as black people, we have been here for 400 years. We've been here since 1619. Mm-hmm. And if none of us are free, you know, if all of us ain't free, none of us
exactly.
are free. And I feel very strongly about including my LGBTQ or same gender loving sisters, because when you look at the history of black people, people that have been identified as gay or lesbian or transgender have been very instrumental in our liberation.
That's
we
right.
would have not
always
had the March on Washington if it wasn't for a gay man
always
named A.R. Boston.
Say it, girl, say
that's
it.
Right.
We have Bessie Smith, who was yep. a blues singer. Okay, we've had Barbara Jordan, who was mm-hmm. a politician. I could mm-hmm. go on and on. Langston
Marsha
Hughes.
P. Henson. She started the Stonewall.
Right, Marsha P. Johnson.
She was a trans woman of color.
Exactly, Marsha P. Johnson. Pay for the P means pay
Sylvia,
it no mind,
that's
baby.
Right.
Pay
Sylvia
it no
Rivera.
Mind. Sylvia Rivera. So we've had a long history of LGBTQ people that have been contributed to our liberation. Mm-hmm. So for you to try to eliminate them out of the conversation, you're dealing with an erasure of a huge part of our history as
That's
a people.
Right.
So when these people like Umar Johnson come around and talk about black nationalism and he's like, I'm not for the homosexual, then you're not for black people, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I bring to the table is strong allyship, because all black people, my brothers and sisters, whether you're from DR, whether you're from Puerto Rico, you're Colombian, you're from Detroit, you're from Compton, you're from
African.
Brooklyn, right? If you're from Toronto, you're from Nigeria, we all, black people, we are living in perilous times, especially mm-hmm. here in America uh-huh. under this administration. And we cannot afford to take anybody out the race or discount
That's right.
anybody.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are black, yeah. I am down with you, especially if you are trying to progress our community mm-hmm. and our race. I don't care who you sleep with, what you have. I don't care if you want mm-hmm. four vaginas. I do not care. You are for progressing us. As black people, I am down for you, and I feel that.
Randy, like, I like that.
In Charlottesville, when that hatred mm-hmm. brewed,
yes. yep.
they didn't say, okay, you're trans,
you're cis, mm-hmm.
you're
straight,
cis,
right.
you're this.
Black.
They just want to kill yeah. your black.
Yeah. Right.
There's no distinction.
Exactly. Yeah,
there's no distinction.
Exactly.
And we need people to really understand that and really be willing to take that on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and,
you're right.
And like really mm-hmm. dissect that, because therein mm-hmm. lies that connection piece.
And you know what yeah. I noticed? The first, yeah. when a trans black woman is murdered, the first thing I noticed other straight black people say, well, they must have didn't tell him.
They must have been trying to fool him.
But you know what? That makes me so angry.
It's so
1990. Because, I mean, it's so yeah. ignorant. I mean,
right.
like,
it is ignorant.
Men were hung on yeah. trees. I mean, burnt. For mm-hmm. looking at a white woman.
Yeah. Castrated.
And all you and I mean, yeah. you got to, you know, I mean, this is a human being. She was murdered. You don't, it just, I don't know. I said to myself, I'm always, if you look at my page, I'm always fighting for the black man. I'm mm-hmm. always fighting about police brutality.
But it's not reciprocated,
I'm always
though.
Fighting
no,
for
not.
Them.
It's
but
not.
You know what yeah. I noticed? I said, when right. I hear stories about trans women, they're dogging us out.
Yeah.
But how about this? Statistically, so, the black so. Man is my number one killer.
Exactly. Yeah.
How about that?
Mine too,
like,
is a
really
cisgender
woman. Really dissect that for a moment. That, that I'm supposed to stand up and be proud and include and push back and all of these things. But the same person that I'm helping bring to the forefront
and protecting
is
the one
person
that
turns around.
And I'm
going to
tell y'all another flip side. You know what I sometimes feel? I have more advantages in a white community. Because when I go into yeah. different parts mm-hmm. of in the communities in predominantly white areas,
they have
I'm
more safe spaces.
I'm treated like, holding the doors for me. I'm treated like, I just sense a feeling that it's just that I'm feeling like you're treating me sometimes better than my own people.
I
can't remember. I can't remember which one of you ladies said it, but you said it was people are more infatuated with what you're doing in the bedroom.
I said that.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
That.
It's yeah. the infatuation
not the
of
human
what
being,
you
not the mind,
right.
It's
it has nothing.
It
has nothing to do with mm-hmm. trans, gay, or anything. It just has to do with what you're doing in the bedroom.
I didn't know
and people
I'm doing anything.
Exactly.
And Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. And people can't wrap their minds around it. So that's where the ignorance come in. Is that they just can't wrap their mind around it, and that's where it lies. See, we will never get past this point if they can't look past what you're doing in the bedroom, then no, they're not going to look you straight in the eye. They're mm-hmm. going to look, it's the imagination mm-hmm. behind you. They're never going to look
you
straight
really
in the eye.
What they
really
want to join.
Yeah,
half the time.
What's the young man that actually was starting the Black Lives Movement? The black guy that was always in the front? When they had Ferguson and everything, he actually was out there in the front line all the time. Ferguson,
I know who you're talking about, but I can't.
And Baltimore as well.
Black Lives Matter.
And then they found out that he was gay, and there was a lot of people that turned against him.
Right. Mm.
and said, well, I'm not going to follow him because he's a faggot.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Because all black.
And he was the person that was out on the front line like, hey, right. we need to stop killing our
this
people.
This is why we're not making it as a race of people. Because
it's so divisive.
Was it D-Ray or D? I can't remember his name.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to look his name up.
Yeah, it starts with the D.
Signals bad out here. Yeah.
But we're so divisive. And I feel like all Black Lives Matter, just not cisgendered heterosexual male ones. And that's what I'm noticing. It's like when we divert the narrative away from what straight black men are going through, nobody wants to hear it. Because me being a bio woman, cisgendered woman, I get a lot of can we, is this a is this a family show?
Oh, no, you can cuss.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know you want.
I get a lot of shit, too, for being a feminist, for being a black woman who's trying to stand in her truth and to fight for equality, because I have to deal with white folks, and I have to deal with sexism in my community, too. This is why we need to have more conversations around intersectionalism.
That's right.
And some of you all have probably heard intersectionality.
That's
excuse
right.
me. Some of you all have heard this theory that has been developed by this brilliant sister out of UCLA Law School, Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw. She's a law professor out there. She came up with it about 30 years ago in the late 80s. Back in the day, she said she was too woman for the pro-blacks, and the feminists didn't want to hear the black shit either. So she came up with this theory of intersectionality that I live within two identities. I can my femininity can coexist with my blackness,
that's
always been the forefront of my identity. And we just have to have more. I think a lot of it has to do with black people. We've been so oppressed through the years. And so some of us, it feels good to make somebody else feel bad because we
feel
bad.
It's almost popular.
It's almost popular. So we have this hierarchy in the black community where cisgendered black men are at the top. And they want to keep everybody else down through homophobia, sexism, and colorism.
They're thinking that way because they know that they're at the bottom of this.
Exactly. In the greater scheme of things, cisgendered black men are at the bottom compared
because
to white
Because if you're looking into the white media, who are the stars? RuPaul. Different black, gay,
Billy
trans
Porter.
People are being on the top of the line in the other. You know,
and that's fine, but the population that's being murdered in the streets every day is the black trans woman.
Exactly. Yeah,
Kelly, our sister Kelly, she was killed in December of 2018, and she was killed by a black pastor here in the city of Detroit.
I remember that.
And I go to
on the
court case. Oh, yes. And I go to the court case, and I know the family. I love Miss Williams. I keep in contact with them, follow up, make sure to include it. I also arranged a town hall in the summer with the elected officials, the Department of Justice, and everyone. I invited Miss Williams because I don't want people to forget Kelly because that needs to be known.
Say her name.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. This was a young woman who was out working, sex working to survive because she needed to provide for herself. Mm-hmm. And here you have a pastor who's a registered CPL holder that shoots her, and he substantiates the shooting and the killing of her by, oh, when I let her in my car, I thought she was a woman because I seen her flailing her arms and I thought she needed some help. But what we're still trying to identify was when you found out that she wasn't a woman, why did she have to die?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, what did her identity, her gender, her sexuality do to you to make her have to die? Yeah. And here you are. You drop your daughter off at daycare in Southfield, and this is an hour before you have to be to work, and you're on the corner of 6 Mile and John R. And you say that you didn't know that this was a place where sex work took place or where transgender women perform sex work, but you also say in your statement that you attended services at Wings of Love. And there are people that have not stepped down in the city of Detroit nor the state of Michigan that know what goes on 6 Mile and Woodward and 6 Mile and John R.
Oh, baby, we already know what goes
exactly
down here.
Exactly.
Everybody does. I mean, even if you live out of town, you probably know what goes there. So you
to be honest, and be honest with you, there was many nights. Actually, when I was like maybe 17, 18 years old, I was going to Club Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the transgender women walking up and down Woodward talking to the cops.
Yeah.
Like, the cops were out there just talking to them.
So
and
how
I'm like,
do you...
y'all don't know what goes down over here?
But how are you a pastor and you attended services here and your roots are here. You've never lived anywhere but the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
You did not know that.
It's a lie. It is a lie. Good face one.
After he shot and killed her, he went to work, took a shower, changed his clothes, and called the police an hour and 20 minutes later.
Jesus Christ.
So she did nothing to... I didn't even hear about the story, but she did nothing to him?
nothing.
Not trying to rob, not trying to do nothing. He wasn't trying to defend himself.
She was out trying to make money. He was out for a good, somewhere between his desire for a good time and letting her in the car. She had to die, and we still don't know why. Wow. And the case is still in the court.
Where is he?
Okay. With those, with the laws and the protections not being as strengthened as they are, he was able to go to the judge to get a reduction in bail and get put on a tether. And the judge agreed with him and said, well, we don't see why he's a menace to society or a threat to society, but you don't understand that there's a person, a family mourning loss of life here.
Yeah. On a murder charge? Somebody. Are you kidding me? People be like 40 years in prison for selling heroin.
I feel like those of you listening to this.
I had a trans woman client who was shot in the gas station on 7 Mile and Greenfield at the mobile gas station last year.
In
broad daylight. It's a green light gas station. So there's real time recording going on managed by the police. She gets shot around between 3 and 3:30 in the afternoon. We have all the footage and everything. We get to the judicial system and we're again smacked across the face, and the only way that the judge could really charge and make the charges stick by charging the offender with ethnic intimidation, because we don't have discrimination laws here in Michigan.
That's crazy. That's terrible.
I feel like the people listening to this are missing the full effect of all the air quotes going on.
My thing is, you don't have to agree. You don't have to get in bed. You don't have to marry me. You don't have to promise me the moon or stars. All of that is fine to me. But when you intentionally take those feelings and those biases and intentionally make it hard for me every day in healthcare, in stability, education, in access, in education, all of these things that you deliberately try to cut me out of, but still tell me to go make it.
Okay.
It's kind of like what happens with black people on a whole. People criticize us. Like, how come you guys can't do this and this? Hello, slavery. Hello, Jim Crow. Hello, segregation. But you still expect me to be at the same level.
They still take them taxes out my check.
Exactly.
We equal there.
I think Roland Martin said we're like 200 years behind white people because of all the oppression. But people still expect us to achieve at the same rate, even though we have been so marginalized and so oppressed.
It's called the dollar green. If we knew how to invest in the communities with those dollars that we spend on Popeye's chicken and all these other things, we would have some money in
But the dollar is one thing. That's just economics. We're talking about a quality of life
here.
We're talking about just plain and simple respect off the gate. You got to respect me before you learn how much money I got.
Yeah, that's true.
The point that I'm just saying about, if we keep our money in the community and know how to make it
but
to how where
it are
helps
we solving
us.
The violence and the murder.
And you know what? This is this.
They have a there are a lot of them people that sound like a sociopath.
Yeah, this is definitely a conversation that we can continue to have. And we're definitely going to do this again. We're actually going to get all together again and tie up this conversation. I do want to say this real quick before we actually get out of here today. For the people that are watching that have children that are, you know, like saying, mom, dad, I'm different.
Yeah. And if you don't know what to do with them, call me.
Did you hear about the court case that's going on right now where there is a mom and dad that's fighting against each other? So the boy feels like he's a girl. I think is it the dad actually is okay with it?
No, he's not
okay. The mom is okay with it, but the dad is not.
He's a good parent.
So I want to ask you guys real quick, because we got to get out of here soon. What age was it when you guys realized that you were transgender? And let me ask you this. And I want to say a shout out to T.S. Madison, because T.S. Madison said that you should wait until you're like 18 to actually start altering your body.
Is this bitch recording?
Is this bitch recording? Is it live? I want to be clear. I want to be clear that T.S. Madison spoke for T.S. Madison.
Yeah, just for her. Yeah.
Because T.S. Madison is not living the reality of my girls here in the city of Detroit. Sure. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? So where there's, again, we got to be careful where we interject our own biases. You know,
for her,
it was good and it made sense to start at 18. And that's a good argument, but for everyone else, it might be imperative.
This is
to start
a life
earlier.
And death situation. You
That's
can't
right.
choose
That's
between right. 18 mm-hmm. and 16 and 17. You got to choose to either die or live or be
right.
unhappy. I didn't care what anybody thought. My grandparents, being gay was a bad word in the house. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I broke the doors down because I have a cousin that's gay. He was accepted because of me, you know, riding that track, letting other people be okay to be who they are. Because my family, if you said the gay word, it was just like a ABC matinee movie. They were watching because this was the 80s. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I always was out because I walk different, I talk different, I walk like a girl. So I couldn't hide it.
But what age are you think? Like, I mean, if you feel
16,
like... Yeah.
16. I wanted to start off with wanting to be beautiful.
Okay.
Until I got educated myself of what I really was going through. Yeah. But then I had a neighbor who stopped me. She said, I know you, she said, wait a minute. She said, Mother Nature made a fuck up. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
She said, you a girl. I was like, what? Oh, honey, we're going to go to Red Lobster. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that was my Aunt Cookie, and she was actually my savior. She kind of helped.
Shout out to Aunt Cookie.
She helped me.
Okay.
Rest in peace to Aunt Cookie. She was my neighbor, but she was watching. You know, she was like, Madea. Yeah. She was watching, and she just taught me how to do a checkbook. She taught me about school. She taught me how to drive a car. And she taught me things that my family wasn't giving it to me because my family wasn't telling me these things. She taught me. She said, don't you go anywhere with a man because you'll be under a carpet of a rug or something. Mm. So I would walk down the streets of Detroit getting all this attention, but guys would look at me. And I'm like, what you looking at? And I would get the number and put it away, but I would never talk to anybody. I kind of stayed to myself. And I'm happy of who I am. I'm knowing that this sounds sad that we still have to fight to be who you are, but you know what? I'm proud that I made this, you know, that I'm being me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Because I can know that I lived in this life and I've been able to express who I wanted to be, and I'm happy with it.
And I appreciate you, too. Because you know what? This girl, she, Jamila, she has a lot to tell. And, of course, Janice, I appreciate you. You got a lot. Jasmine, I got to hear your story. So we're going to do this again, and I want you to come back.
For sure.
I really do appreciate it.
We're
going to do it before it starts snowing.
I want to let your listeners know if there is anybody who's being victimized or being unfairly treated, please reach out to me. I take it as a privilege to help defend and help bring acknowledgement to these issues. My phone number is 313-537-7000, extension 112.
Yes.
Or you can look on Equality Michigan's webpage or look for Trans Sisters of Color Project as well.
Yes, indeed.
Awesome.
Okay, well, I thank you guys for being here today, okay? And I'd like to give a big thanks to all of our guests, of course, Janice, Ms. Rahi, of course,
thank
but
you.
We do the Point Esther on
That's
that
right.
too.
Let
and also
right.
Jamila, Sade, Jasmine, thank you so much. I appreciate
thank
it.
You all.
And
thank
definitely,
you for inviting me.
Thank you for imparting your knowledge on us as well. Of course, you know, the conversation will continue. We're going to do this again. And because of that, I honestly think we will grow as people. And thank
That's
you
right.
so much.
Amen.
Also, thank you to my co-hosts too. We got Randy. We also got Autumn and we got Crystal. Thank you so much. I couldn't have done this without
Thank
you guys.
You.
Appreciate it. And all the listeners, we appreciate you. And if you would like to contact us about our show, if you got any questions the next time we do this again, please email us at wetalkliferadio@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to leave you guys with the transformation. No matter our differences, we should always champion our similarities. And from there, you'll find that we're not much different at all.
Amen.
Peace at all. Peace to all of you guys. And I love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Talk to you. Hey, guys.
Get your coin.
And today's show, of course, was sponsored by JetEye Management. JetEye Management, of course, for all your property management needs. Please call them at 313-458-1321. And that's the crazy thing. That's my favorite number. 3121.
Uh-oh.
So you guys
all
make
your
sure
Prince
y'all.
Fans.
Yeah, exactly. For all the Prince fans, too. Yep. JetEye Management, 313-458-1321 for all your property management needs. And I'm sorry about that. I just, the conversation was so deep. I love you guys.
All right. Happy birthday to all the Scorpios.
Thank you, Dave.
Not a problem.
Enjoy.
God
yes.
Bless.
Yeah.